November is traditionally the month when Hollywood begins releasing films it hopes to be award contenders, which usually means we'll be seeing a number of dramas aimed at adults. Two new films fit this pattern, one a saga of returning war veterans, the other a retro murder mystery set in 1950s suburbia. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Joining me to discuss Thank You for Your Service and Suburbicon, I'm happy to have back on the program frequent On Film contributor Gene Creel. Good morning, Gene.
Morning, Chuck.
We've been out sitting in theaters this week. What's up first?
First of all, Thank You for Your Service. This film was written and directed by Jason Hall, who also wrote the Oscar-nominated screenplay for American Sniper. Here, he's adapting the book by journalist David Finkel, and it stars most notably Miles Teller, Haley Bennett, and newcomer Beulah Koala. The film is based on the true story of Adam Schumann, who served and survived three tours in Iraq before being sent home after being diagnosed with PTSD. You know, Chuck, as long as there have been war films, there have also been films about the horror of war, both the physical carnage and the emotional toll, from 1930s Oscar winner All Quiet on the Western Front to more recently The Hurt Locker and American Sniper. And this film is one of the most personal. There are harrowing flashbacks which reveal some idea of what the characters experienced in Iraq, but the film really focuses on their experiences when they come home. The two main characters, Adam and Solo, are greeted by loving and supportive families, but it's not enough. Adam's PTSD and Solo's traumatic brain injury are front and center, and sadly, there are precious few resources available to them. The film is brutally honest in its depiction of the bureaucracy, indifference, and just lack of understanding that these soldiers face as they try to put their lives back on track. This isn't an indictment of the incompetency of the VA as much as a harsh and painful wake-up call that reveals the sheer enormity of the problem. I was reminded of Hidden Figures, another example of a film where the message is more important and more significant than the film itself. And yet, like that film, this is a must-see film because of the actors' performances.
Now, that's a great synopsis of it. As you know, when you go into a film and knowing you're going to have to review it or talk about it on the radio, you tend to take a clinical approach. And within minutes, I had just fallen right into the film and I stopped worrying about what I thought of it. I just let it carry me along. The intimacy of this film is really startling, and the matter-of-factness with which it's put forward, I really have to credit the director, Jason Hall, his directorial debut, which is really something, quite an accomplishment, because the film never pulls its punches, but it also doesn't overly dramatize anything. You're just with these several men as they're trying to cope, and their camaraderie that they bring back home and the struggles of their families, you just are with them every step of the way. And like you said, it's not just an excellent film, but it's an important film beyond itself in that it gives us civilians a window into that world and what these men and women who come back from war are dealing with.
Exactly. One thing that kept running through my head was there's no sentimentality here.
Exactly.
They don't play that card.
Yeah.
And Miles Teller is outstanding as Adam, trying so hard to fit right back in and losing ground every day. Beulah Koala, who plays Solo, his fragility and vulnerability are heartbreaking to watch as he struggles with his traumatic brain injury, knowing full well that it's not really going to get a lot better, or it's not going to heal. And Haley Bennett is so inspiring. As Adam's wife, she's got spunk and grit, and she simply refuses to let her husband slip away.
Right. And the way it modulates back and forth between all of the messages of our culture for these men to be strong and tough soldiers, even in their return, while at the same time the only way forward is to be more vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And share their experience with others. It's really heartbreaking at times. We should mention that people who are going through this, there's probably a lot of trigger warnings with this film. But for those of us who need to understand as a culture more what our veterans are facing, I thought it did a remarkable job, the director did, of not just telling us, but showing us the types of symptoms and the triggers of those symptoms and how simple everyday life might trigger these flashbacks and these experiences, smells, sights, sounds, really phenomenal, I thought, film.
Right. And I think it's something, too, that seemed to be so important is the individual's need to confront what happened. Mm-hmm. And they can't simply do that alone. And yeah. I think probably most people's families aren't really equipped to do that either. And I think that was a strong message that if you're out there, please, please find help.
Well, fantastic. I think we both highly recommend this film.
Definitely.
And I'd see it this week because I'm not sure it'll stay around a third week.
Right, right.
Our next film is Suburbicon. Suburbicon is George Clooney's sixth feature film as a director and shows his knowledge of both contemporary and classic cinema. The film is based on an old screenplay by the venerable Coen brothers, dusted off and polished by Clooney and longtime writing partner Grant Heslov, and then reconfigured after the last election, which accounts, I think, for the film's mixed messages and tones. The Suburbicon of the title is a gleaming, well-manicured, all-white suburb in Any Place USA, circa 1959. It's a well-ordered utopia that never quite existed, but that could be the poster child for those who believe the good old days were six decades ago. When a black family buys into the subdivision, the sound of birds chirping gives way to increasingly noisy protests as residents gather to harass their new, darker-skinned neighbors. Living right across the backyard from these racial pioneers is Matt Damon's clean-cut corporate everyman, burdened with a few problems of his own. His wife has just been murdered in a home invasion gone awry, and her twin sister has moved in to help care for his adolescent son. The always superb Julianne Moore plays both mother and aunt, and despite the film's bright colors and Moore's perpetual smile, it's not long before we suspect all is not as it seems. You know, Gene, viewers familiar with the films of the Coen brothers will find familiar elements here, a close connection between violence and satire, real menace mingled with an almost comic mayhem, a helping of distinctive side characters, including Oscar Isaac's few screen moments as an insurance investigator, and keen attention to period detail. Clooney and Heslov's script, though, seems a bit too reverent to the Coen brand, however, and the grafting on of a racially charged integration subplot makes it harder to absorb the film's already shifting satiric tones. This is a film that I felt really skips over its surface, even though it's hinting at depths there that it never quite sinks into for plumbing its potential. But structure and script shortcomings aside, there are inspired moments where Clooney's direction carries some visual interest. His familiarity with the film noirs of the 1950s is translated nicely to the extreme widescreen and the brightly lit, almost technicolor cinematography of the film. Nicholas Ray's 1956 film, Bigger Than Life, comes to mind in both tone and composition. And there's an insurance fraud angle that nods towards Billy Wilder's 1948 noir, Double Indemnity. And then there are a few moments that feel absolutely Hitchcockian, especially scenes involving Matt Damon's screen son, played by Noah Jupe, when his childhood innocence bumps up against very adult circumstances. And Clooney takes an admirable, if unsuccessful, stab at contrasting the escalating riot over a colored family moving in one street over with the unraveling lives and bloody story playing out in the living room on the other side of the fence. Without being overtly political, Suburbicon's view of a white suburban culture self-distracted by misperceived threats from outsiders and the neighborhood's willful blindness towards the real menace and murder at the core of its community certainly seems prescient. I thought Clooney really was swinging for the fences here and did strike out, but a part of me is glad that he at least swung.
I agree, Chuck. As I watched this, the resemblance to Fargo was inescapable,
yes.
Of course. To me, it was sort of caught between Fargo and Double Indemnity.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, to me, I love that the Coen brothers are the standard bearers of black comedy and satire in Hollywood, which I think is there's been very little forthcoming from Hollywood in that area. So we do look to the Coen brothers. And I don't know if this screenplay, which apparently was put together some years ago and put on a back burner.
1986 even.
Okay. And I don't know if Fargo came before or after.
I think it was after. But you're right. In watching the film, I couldn't help but have a revolving reel of Coen mm-hmm. Brothers scenes running through my head that I was comparing it to.
Right.
Because
right.
it does retain a lot of that spark that we see in Coen Brothers films. But without their helming of this, and I think the completion of the screenplay and updating of it, it's just lacking something.
Right. I thought, you know, I do like George Clooney. He's directed some amazing films. But his addition of that racial strife, mm-hmm. it just didn't fit with the tone of the film. And it seems like such a serious subject really needed that Coen magic to retain the sting of that, but to meld it more seamlessly into the film, you know, which, of course, was the more major narrative is, of course, the home invasion.
I kept finding individual things to appreciate of each scene, but the putting together of the entire film, which I really put on the screenplay and the story, I think Clooney and his writing partner Hesloff, that's where it falls down, because there is a lot of capability there in the direction. It's just it needed something extra, and I think that something extra would have been the moments that work the best in this film are when we are experiencing the story through the perspective of Noah Jupe, the young boy who's amazing in this film, playing Matt Damon's son.
Right. He struck me as almost a Dickensian youth. He's sensitive but ingenuous but perceptive and bright. Sometimes it seemed he was the only sane person in the film.
I'm in the difficult position of critiquing a film but also recommending it. I think people will enjoy this film, but it gives them lots to think about what doesn't work of it. But there's still recommended elements to this film, so I would say go see it.
Yeah, I thought a lot of style, not a lot of substance.
So slightly recommended. I know we've both picked something from Netflix. What's streaming right now that's got your attention?
We discovered the new series on Netflix called Mindhunter. This is the series based on the book by John Douglas, who relates the development of the FBI's Behavioral Science Division and their psychological profiling of the criminal mind. It stars Josh Groff and has a very strong supporting cast.
Yeah.
I thought it started just a tad slow, mm-hmm. but it really picks up as he combines criminal investigation with academic research and sociological insight into what makes people tick.
Certainly binge-worthy, and we should warn people it's extremely mature subject matter.
Definitely
so
R-rated.
Watch out for that. In fact, everything we've talked about today is R-rated, so
that's
be forewarned.
True.
I've been discussing the new movies Thank You for Your Service and Suburbicon with frequent on-film contributor Gene Creel. Both films are in theaters and rated R for language, violence, and subject matter. Thanks, as always, Gene, for coming in.
Oh, thank you, Chuck.
A final program note, my own film series, The Film Salon, will screen the 1961 samurai film Yojimbo tonight at 6:30 p.m. at Alamo Drafthouse Cinema. Tickets are just $3. Thanks to Lauren Terrazas for engineering today's show. On Film's producer is Dennis Wu. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.